Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And let's begin with verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Thank you, Father, for your word, which will not return void, but shall accomplish whereunto you sent it. You may be seated this morning. In the midst of all of this, did you realize, in the midst of everything that Lot was being told by the angels, and yet they still hesitated? Yet they still hesitated. But the beautiful part was that the angels of God took them by the hand and led them out of the city. And yet, even having been led out of the city, it said that Lot's wife turned around and she looked back at the things of the city. Or did she look back at those that did not come with her? You see, people, we have to realize that when we're looking at this day and this hour, God told you and I that when the fig tree putteth forth its leaves, then know that summer is nigh. Or in other words, if I look at it in a prophetic sense, I see here where it said when Israel became a nation in 1948, it said begin to look up because your redemption is coming nigh. In other words, it began in 1948. You say, well, since you've been saying that, Pastor, I haven't seen him come. But yet, what have you seen since 1948? You've seen many things take place. You've seen many things transpire. The United States right now, in essence, is in a state of lawlessness. It's anything goes. Our schools, anything goes. Since 1963, we took prayer out of the school. We took God out of the school. Then we want to know where he is, 9/11, when the towers were on fire. Where's your God? Our God was right there. There was only 3,000 that got destroyed when there should have been something like 50,000. You see, God took Lot and his daughters out of the city. He let them escape. And my word says, be mindful that you can be accounted worthy to escape what's coming upon this earth. People, there's a time coming upon this earth that you and I don't want to be here. You and I don't want to be sitting in this church. We don't want to be sitting in our house. We don't want to be even on the earth when these things begin to take place. He's warned us time after time after time. And yet, there's those that sit around on their hands and say, Oh, he's not coming. Oh, he's not coming. Yes, he is coming. He said, If I go, then I will come again. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. People, we know he went. We have record of him going. We have record in our own spirit. Does it not bear witness with you when you get into a church and somebody's reading the word or the song is sung? Does it not bear witness with your heart that the Spirit of God is dwelling there? Why? Because you have accepted him. And if you've accepted him, then you know that he's coming back to get you. You see, we're living in a day and an hour when they call right wrong and they call wrong right. But God is not going. He said he's long suffering, but only to a point. When that point is over, then he's done. He said that he's going to take the wild olive branch that was grafted in, and he's going to take it out, and he's going to regraft in the branch. He's going to graft back in the nation of Israel. God's not done with him. God loves the remnant. God loves it. He will have him a remnant. But I'm here to tell you today that you can escape everything that's going to come on this earth. You can escape everything that God's going to do. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, you'll find out the church is never mentioned after that. You never hear of the church after chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 22. You don't hear of it anymore. Why? Because it's not there anymore. Only he who letteth now letteth, but when he be taken up, then shall the son of perdition arise. He says, when they cry, here is Christ, there is Christ, don't run to it. And yet, people, if you and I are reading the newspapers, we have people that have risen up and saying that they're Christ. And people are flocking to them. This man out of Puerto Rico has got a million followers now. And he's Christ. And yet he has no nail prints in his hand. Yet he can't raise the dead. Yet he can't open blinded eyes. Yet he can't make the deaf hear and the lame to walk. He can't do the things that Jesus did. And yet the word of God tells you and I that greater things than this shall you do. You, as his body, will be doing these things. You say, when that's going to happen? I don't know, but I believe it with all my heart. It's going to happen. Because like Brother Kreiner was telling you, the word of God said that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. The former rain, when Peter and those came down out of the upper room, 3,000 were added to the church, 5,000 were added to the church. People, what an outpouring. 8,000 in just a couple of weeks added to the church. What would you do here if there were 8,000 added in 2 weeks? Where would you put them? If 3,000 were added in 1 day, we'd have to set up seats in the parking lot. We'd have to get a tent. People, God can do, listen, my God can do anything. Peter came down out of the upper room, and Peter had denied Christ, and he came down out of the upper room, and he preached one little message, and 3,000 souls hit the floor. When God moves, God can bring repentance, God can bring conviction, God can bring salvation to as many as he wants to in one easy step. We're living in a day and an hour when all things are possible. You know, I was thinking the other day as I was reading, and I thought of the scripture that said, men running to and fro. How easy it is to get on an airplane here and be in Australia in a few hours. How easy it is to be here, to be there. And yet, they're not grounded in the Word of God. They're not grounded in what the Word says to be grounded in. They have lost their first love. They don't love God like they used to. You say, what do you mean? I mean these ministers travel all over the world preaching, but they've lost their first love. And their first love should be for their church, for their body, for souls to be saved. People, the sheep, he said to Peter, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. The most important thing should be us witnessing. We should be feeding the sheep of his pasture. Well, who's that, Pastor? It's the world. That's his pasture. We should be witnessing every single opportunity we get. When God places somebody in our path, shall I say, in our seat, you know, my grandson Daniel, we were walking the other day at the mall, and some woman I was talking to and everything, he says, Papa, do you know everybody? No, I don't. My daughter don't want to go to the store with me sometimes because she said I need to go and get back. She says, but if I go with you, I may be there for a while because, listen, every time God gives me a door, every time God gives me somebody that I can share, and it may not be the first time that I meet them that I get to share, but I'll plant a seed here. I'll open a door here. I'll squeeze through the crack just a little bit. You know why? Because I want them to realize that even though they're going through what they're going through in this world, God still has all the answers. God is the one. He's the peace, if you'll just let him do it. But you see, even in the young people, even in the school, even in those areas, if they'll dare to trust God, all things are possible to him that believe. If you believe God can do it, God can do it. There's nothing he can't do. But you've got to put your faith in operation. Where's your faith? Are you sitting on it? Have you left it at home? Listen, people, we've got to realize the day we live in. We've got to realize what's going to happen. I look at this political arena. I look at this Congress. I look at everything that's happened. Oh, we got to bail out this bank. We got to bail out that bank. GM and Chrysler are talking about merging. What happens if GM, Chrysler, and Ford all merge? Where we have one vehicle instead of all three vehicles. You know, it can happen. It can happen, people. Listen, we're living in a time where things are changing so fast that we need to be anchored and grounded in someone called Jesus Christ. We've got to realize what he said to look for is what's happening. What he said to look for. Men's hearts failing. Earthquakes in diverse places. Wars and rumors of wars. And he said all these are just the beginning of sorrow. You know, look what's happening in your children, your grandchildren, in your families. Look what's happening. You're the anchor. Do you hold on to the great anchor, or do you turn loose? Because if you turn loose, Hosea 4:6 says, I will forget your children. You know, Brother Kreiner can't turn loose. He's got children. I can't turn loose. I've got children and grandchildren. You can't turn loose if you've got children. Why? Because you are their stabilizer. Grandma, you're their stabilizer. You're the one that they look to stabilize their lives. Even though they may not call you, even though they may not have anything to do with you, even though they say, oh, you're full of it, oh, you're so crazy. Listen, you can call me what you want, but my feet are planted on solid ground. I'm not moving off what I got onto 37 years ago. And believe me, the storms have come. I've weathered the storms with the help of Jesus. I couldn't have done it by myself. There's no way I could have weathered the storms. Only hanging on to him. What did the woman say? She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. What did she endure? She probably had her hand stepped on. She probably crawled through things that you and I would turn our nose up and run the other way and get a scoop shovel. But she pressed through. Why? She said, she made it a point. She conditioned her mind. She let her faith come out of her mouth. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. Everything that's going on round about me, this issue of blood will dry up. Why? Because I'm touching he that can do all things. People, we're seeing what the Word of God told you and I to look for. But notice, he took Lot and his children out of the danger. What did he do with Noah? What did he do with Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. People, God looked on him and saw a righteous man. He seen one that was standing upright before him. And when he found one that would stand up, he said, build me an ark, because I'm going to destroy this world. I'm going to destroy it because their sin has come up into my nostrils. Noah started building when he was 600 years old. A 600-year-old man building an ark as big as a football field. Or bigger. He said he measured it by cubits. A cubit runs from the tip of your finger to the tip of your elbow. And when you measure it out, it was 480 some odd feet. Can you imagine a boat that big, three stories high? Was it any wonder that it said that when God shut the door, no man openeth that door? What man could open that door? But you see, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man. People, look around you. We had the third state vote for same-sex marriages. Third state voted for same-sex marriages. We've had 48 million abortions. Israel was judged, I've told you before, because of innocent blood and homosexuality. People, if we are not as bad as Israel, they've got a merit badge compared to us, you know? But God is long-suffering, but only to the point. Remember, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. If you sow discord, if you sow hate, if you sow all these things, you're going to reap them. Even at your age, you ain't had time to get as mature. Oh, okay. You ain't had time to get the gray hairs that some of us have. But I earned every one of them. With two boys and a girl, I earned every one of them. I earned them. But I'll tell you something. I've also earned the right, because I've held on to God for 37 years. I've earned the right to claim my children. I've earned the right to claim my grandchildren. I've earned the right. Why? Because God said that if I will hold fast, he will save my children and my grandchildren. He made the promise. I'm just claiming. I'm claiming it, you know? He said he's able to keep your son in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. I know we've got turmoil. I know what war does. I've been with my friends that have come back, and they've went through some things, and I've heard them tell me. You know, my father would never talk about the war. Whatever happened to him, he'd never talk about it. He'd never talk about it. But you know, there were times you'd see and you'd be talking to him and all of a sudden he'd jerk or something. And I'd say, what happened, Dad? He says, nothing. You know, these things are in there. These things are their memory. That's why you pray. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. People, God's able to change your mind. Why? Because he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What renews it? The word and the relationship to God. That's what changes your mindset. That's what changes you. You're not who you were, you're who God wants you to be. God's not looking at you now. He's looking at what he called you to be. And he'll keep us. He'll keep us. There's coming a time on this earth, like I said before, that I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. There's those that have gone on before me that are rejoicing around the throne. You know, I got a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, a brother. You know, you say, are they all there? I hope so. I prayed. I believed. I know the grandfather, or I know grandmother's there, rather, because I prayed with grandma about 20 minutes before she closed her eyes and went home to glory. My mother spent 4 hours with my uncle, and I'm telling you one thing about my uncle. You know, he came from an old Baptist tradition where he believed you got to be saved. And she spent the 4 hours the very day she had the heart attack, you know. You said, can you be sure? Yeah. Yes, I can be. I can be sure also of this, that regardless of whatever's coming, he said, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. People, I'm telling you, he's not going to allow me to go. If he did not allow Lot to suffer through Sodom and Gomorrah, if he did not allow Noah to suffer through, then why would he allow you and I to suffer through those things? He said he's able to keep me. He's able to keep what I commit to him. He's able. People, if he allows me to go through that, then he should have allowed Noah to go through it. And he said he's no respecter of persons. And he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what I'm trying to say to you today is, don't be like Lot's wife. As she was going out, she turned around to look. The things that were there were more important to her than where she was going. And you see, with a lot of Christian people today, what they have, their stuff, is more important than where they're going. And the Bible says that the sower sows the word, and the cares of the world steal the word. But it also says the riches of the world. The riches. People, let me tell you a little secret. If you have $1 billion hidden in your house, spend it. Spend it. Spend it. Because he's going to burn this place up. And if it's dollar bills, it'll burn. If it's gold, it'll melt. If it's jewels, there's nothing can stand the heat. Just exactly like people when they come into the house of God and the Spirit of God is dealing, they can't stand the heat. They can't stand the heat. They'll either get right with God or they'll run. When the Spirit of God is moving, they'll either get right with God or they'll have to run. They'll have to run. But we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst, because it's the Comforter abides. That's what you read. The things of this world. Listen, people. Nothing in this world should be so important to you to keep you here when heaven beckons. Nothing. Nothing should be important here. I remember a lady that her daughter-in-law called Bonnie and me and asked us if we would come and sit with her because she had to go home and get some rest and she'd been there all night. And we went up and sat down with her, and she looked up at me and kind of smiled real big, and she reached out and she took hold of my hand and she said, "You know I'm going home today." I said, "Sure I do." She says, "I'm going home." I said, "I know you are." She never said another word. She went home. She went home. Just that quick. You remember Tom that used to come with Bonnie and me? Used to sit right back there, row or two behind where Sister Linda's sitting. You know? He fought cancer and fought it and fought it and fought it. I went to see him the last time I seen him, and he couldn't breathe, so they put a trig in him, and he was writing me messages. If he'd talk slow, I could understand him, but he'd get excited, and when he'd start talking fast, I couldn't read his lips that good. I'm not a lip reader, you know, but he had to talk to me a little bit. But he told me, he said, "I'll meet you on the other side." I said, "You ain't going anywhere." I said, "Will you be here when I get back?" He said, "Yeah," because I was taking my grandchildren back to Missouri. And I said, "You be here when I get back?" He said, "Sure." He was there when I got back. He was there. But I'll tell you something, Dave, the most awesome thing. I walked in,
And I started talking, and his daughters were there with him. And he started going like this. And he was, his eyelids were over his eyes, and he was going like that. His one daughter looked at me, and she says, "You know he knows you. He's looking for you." I said, "Yes, he knows me." And I reached out, and his hand's up. And I reached out, and I got a hold of his hand, and he gripped my hand, you know. And he's holding on to my hand. And I'm saying, "Brother Tom, everything all right?" You could feel the pressure. Everything, you know. He couldn't talk. He had that stupid thing in his throat. But he could squeeze my hand. I said, "Are you all right?" He squeezed my hand. I said, "Are you ready to go?" Squeeze my hand. I said, "You made peace with all your children." He squeezed my hand. He made sure everything was taken care of so that he was ready to go when the hour came. When the death angel came into that room for him, he was ready to go because he was going to glory. And I'll tell you, I was holding on to that hand, and I looked at his daughter and I said, "He's going home." And she looked at me and she says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Your sister just walked outside. You better get her back in here." She says, "Why is that?" I said, "Because he's going home." She says, "Oh, the nurse said it'd be a little while." I said, "Well, I'm telling you, he's going home." And he was gone. Oh, people. I can see Tom. I can see that big old guy. I can see him rejoicing. I can see him because he was so quiet here. He was so quiet here. But I can see him rejoicing. I can see him, you know, because he made it. He made it. I remember praying for him one night, and I remember he was about where Brother Tim is, and he got out of the pew, and I said, "Come here, Brother Tom." I said, "I need to pray for you." And he got out of the pew, and when he did, he started running. He was like this, and he started running. And I looked at my brother that was with me, and I said, "You better get over there." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because he's not going to make it." And he got just over to the edge, and Brother Tom hit him, and both of them were on the floor. When Tom got excited, he got excited about the things of God. He didn't get excited about the new Monte Carlo or the new clothes or the things his kids bought him. He got excited when you sat and talked to him about God and about the things of God. He'll keep you. He's going to take us out of here before he pours out his wrath. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you can't be sure of that." Then if he doesn't, he's a liar. And I've never found in here where he's lied at all. We may lie, but he never lies. But I'll tell you something. Only those that have his seal are going. You know, when I tell you to make sure things are right, make sure things are right. Make sure there's nothing there. I told somebody the other day, we were talking, and I said, "You know, if you haven't forgiven somebody, it needs to be done. Because the Bible says when you stand praying, forgive, lest your heavenly Father will not forgive you." That means you can't hold any animosity. Oh, Lord. Mandy has never forgiven Alan for that. Forgive. Because if you don't forgive, unforgiveness leaves a door open. And that door allows things to come at you. It allows things to hinder your life.
You can't have peace. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the toys in the world. You can have the biggest bank account. You can have million-dollar yacht. You can have everything that your eyes and ears could ever hear or imagine. But you'll never have peace. Never.
Without forgiveness. You wake up in the midnight hours. You stay up late. You wonder why. You can't sleep sometimes. Forgiveness. Well, there, you know, I says, no. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. When you stand praying, forgive. You know the prayer that we pray up here before we take communion? Release from our mental prison. In case we've forgotten, we're holding a grudge or something. It gets rid of it, people. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If we don't forgive, we're in trouble. Because I believe that things are coming upon this earth right now. God's going to keep us. He kept the children of Israel in the midst of Egypt when all the plagues were poured out. Regardless of what's happening here, I believe God will keep us in the United States. Those that are praying, those that are playing, it isn't going to work. But those that are praying, those that are sincere, God's going to keep in the turmoil and everything that's happening. And people, we should be rejoicing. You say, well, what happens if so-and-so gets in? Well, so what happens if he does? Well, what happens if she gets in? Well, so what if she does? What if she does? He does. They do. So what? It's still in God's hands. Every single thing is still in God's hands. Only as he allows it. You remember something? I'm closing. I want you to think about this. Even when Satan wanted to tempt or wanted to destroy, really, he wanted to destroy Job, God said, you can only go so far. Do you realize it doesn't matter what you're going through this morning? The devil can only go so far. He can't go past the limitations that God has set on him. And isn't it marvelous? You should be rejoicing. You know why? God's counted you worthy to experience what you are. He's got so much confidence in you people that he allows things to build your faith. How much confidence he has in you today. Wow. And I always like what the pastor said when he preached. He said, he saved the best till last. We're the best. He saved us till the last. We're the best. But I'll tell you something. We got to be about our Father's business. Because even Jesus himself said at the age of 12, know you not that I must be about my Father's business? You know, I have, Brother Frank has printed out, I've got the obituary for one that run the race. Sister Janie told me that she was ready to go. Who am I? Her name was Edith Coyle. She was Janie's mother. And she passed away here all Friday, about 9:30. But you know, sometimes I read these and it says funeral services. You know, I think sometimes that, and I know you may think I'm macabre, but you know, I think sometimes instead of putting a funeral service, we should put celebration. Join us for a celebration. Because if they knew Jesus Christ, let's celebrate the resurrection. Because they're on the other side. They've made it where you and I have still got to go if God tarries, which I don't believe he's going to. But here in all, it's not a funeral service. It's a rejoicing. It's a celebration. They made it. The devil can't bother her anymore. She's already walking the streets of gold. She's already rejoicing with Jesus Christ. She's already seeing her loved ones that have went on before her. Like I've said, when I've had to preach a celebration or a funeral service, I said, if we could talk to them people and ask them if they wanted to come back, they would, if they are walking streets of gold, they'd say, you don't pray for me. I'm happy where I am. And if the other one that was going through cancer had racked with pain and stuff, and they waited, they made it, even if they made it at the last minute, brother, even if they made it, do you think they'd want to come back here and suffer what they were suffering? I said that if my brother made it, I pray he did. He was reading the Bible where I told him to read, but he was 51 years old. And I said, if my brother made it, and he's rejoicing around the throne, and I were to ask him, do you want to come back here? I'll tell you, I believe my brother would say, do not pray for me. Leave me where I'm at. Because I don't want to come back to my alcoholic body. I don't want to come back to my heart condition. I don't want to come back to my blood pressure. I don't want to come back to my family that doesn't like me or want me around. I don't want to come back to that when I'm here where I'm rejoicing and I'm loved. But people, the thing I'd ask you, he took Lot out, he took Noah out. One day he's going to take his church. Are you part of his body? Are you part of the church? I'm not talking about Victory Tabernacle. I'm talking about the word church in Greek means a called out body of believers. Are you part of the church? Are you part of the believers? Because if you're part of the believers, then the Spirit inside of you is going to hear the trump of God sound. And when it hears that trump sound, it knows that the dead are raising first. If you go to the book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, and you read in the one, and I don't know which one it was, forgive me, I should have got written it down, but it says, come up here, my beloved, once. Come up here, my beloved, twice. He called the dead first, and we which are alive and remain second. Both of us, come up here. If he were to call, come up here right now. Are you ready? Are you ready to go right now? Because the word of God said, at such a time as you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. See, when you don't think he's coming, he's going to be here. When you don't think he cares, he's watching over you. In Jeremiah 1, I believe it's 1 and 2 or 3, where he says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. People, he knew you. He gave you a free will. You can choose whom you shall serve.